In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure you've heard, as I have over the years, every once in a while, a new effort to make Christianity relevant for our time, to bring Christianity into the 20th century. I remember that well. Bring Christianity into the 21st century. And we might think that this is a recent thing, but actually it's something that's been going on for a very long time. When the Christian faith was passed on from the first churches in the Eastern Mediterranean to the West, going first to Rome and out from Rome to other churches, and eventually the newly developing civilization that we are descended from. Our culture, our civilization, we are not descended from the Romans. We might copy the Romans sometimes, but we're not descended from the Romans. Now, there are many Greeks who are descended from Greeks. You can find them in their Greek Orthodox. No problem there. But the rest of us, we of the West, we are descended from a more recent time. Our Western civilization only goes back to about the 9th century. And when our ancestors received the Christian faith, the first thing they did was make it relevant to them. They put it into their understanding. And unfortunately, a great deal was left out. Now, over the course of the last many hundreds of years, their descendants, our ancestors, have gained a deeper and deeper understanding of the Christian faith. I think that's definitely true. But now, those of us who have entered into the fullness of the Christian faith as it was never lost in the East, we need to make the effort not to make the Christian faith relevant to our time, whether our time is the 9th century or the 20th century or the 21st century, we need to enter into the new life in Christ that was revealed to us and is revealed in the Gospels themselves. We may need to make ourselves relevant to God, you know, instead of trying to make God relevant to us. I mean, He is the bigger one. We are the smaller one. He won't fit into us. We will fit into Him. He became incarnate so that we really would be able to fit into a life that was at the same time human and divine. Metropolitan Anthony of Sorzo mentions that we can kind of counterbalance something here at this point on St. Thomas Sunday when we hear about the apostle that would not believe that Christ was risen from the dead until he was able to touch his body. He wanted the real divine person that he had known. Not a ghost, not a spirit, not some kind of a vision. The real person. There's something very deeply Christian about that because it demands the physical reality along with the spiritual reality. What Metropolitan Anthony points out is this. Jesus, for 3 years, when he was with his apostles, revealed his divinity to them. Gradually, over the course of time, there were only a few who acknowledged him fully and immediately. Nathanael is one. Remember? Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree. Nathanael says, you are my Lord and my God. There are only a couple people who say that. But that's the goal. That's what Jesus is kind of catechizing his disciples and hoping that as he shows them more and more of himself, as he teaches them, they come to understand finally and are able to recognize themselves that he is who he is. That he is God himself incarnate. Peter, the leader of the apostles, doesn't reach that point until they are on their way to Jerusalem at the end. And Jesus asks, who do men say that I am? Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, come back. Who do you say that I am? You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God, Peter finally says. He's been with him for 3 years before he says that. Which is a kind of a lesson to those of us who would like to have deep spirituality in our lives immediately. Like right after baptism, right after communion, right after instruction, I should be able to understand this. It should all be clear to me. It took the apostles themselves 3 years before Peter could recognize Christ. So 3 years Jesus spent revealing his divinity gradually to his disciples so that they could see his divinity in the one whom they knew as Jesus of Nazareth. That's before the crucifixion. After the crucifixion, Jesus comes to them. He's different, but he is who he was at the same time. Metropolitan Anthony says that what is happening now is that Jesus is revealing himself as an arisen human being. He is revealing his humanity. He is revealing a kind of humanity that we had not known before. I mean, we know what it means to be a human being. Look at all of us. There are millions and millions of us, and have been down through the ages. We know what human beings are. All we have to do is look at each other. That, the Christian faith says, is not the case. That's wrong. We are not the standard. We don't have a standard. We don't know what it means to be a human being until the resurrected Christ. This really turns the tables on a Western way of understanding Christian faith. Because the way we use the resurrection is that proves that I'm saved and I'm not going to hell after I die, because he arose from the dead. And you'll see the signs. He is risen. He is risen. I always wonder, why don't they say what we do? Why don't they say Christ is risen? Why do I see so many signs that say, because the point is, now I'm not saying that you'll never see a sign like that. You might. That's not the point. The point is, what's being said there is, it is true. It is proven. He has conquered death. We will not die when we die. We will not go to hell. We are saved. You know, all of the legalistic way of understanding salvation. You know, we won't be punished because Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and we know we're all damned. And for those of you who don't know, Orthodox don't understand the fall like that, but the Western idea is that because of the fall of Adam and Eve, all of us are damned. And in order to be saved from hell, which we deserve because we are descended from the fallen first parents, Christ needs to rise from the dead. And so the joy of saying he is risen is the joy of saying we are not going to be damned for Adam's sin. Well, that is not the fullness of the Christian faith. That's part of it. But that is not the fullness of the Christian faith. And that is not the message of Pascha. When we say Christ is risen, we are saying a lot more than that. And Metropolitan Anthony is pointing out that it is not the fact that Christ is divine that is being revealed at the resurrection. That's already been revealed. It was revealed during that first 3 years with the apostles. Now what's being revealed is our humanity arisen. A man, same time, God, of course, yes, but our humanity is in him. The fullness of our humanity is only revealed in Christ. So when Christ arises from the dead, we are looking at the first full and true man, human being. All of us are created, men and women, male and female, he created them, right? When we say man, we mean male and female. Man doesn't mean males. He created us, every man and woman, to be as he is after the resurrection. He is revealing to the apostles what our humanity actually is. He is the new Adam, we say. It's not part of a poetry or something. He is the new Adam. He is the one who shows us what a human being is like. We are meant to live at one with God. We cannot live except at one with God. If we are not at one with God, we die. Jesus, the Christ, the risen Christ, arises in our humanity, and as Metropolitan Anthony says, he reveals the greatness of man. Reveals the greatness of man. That doesn't even hardly sound like Christianity. I mean, we're damned, you know. We're corrupt, you know. We can't do anything for ourselves. We can't cooperate with God. We deny all of those things, you know. Well, what is the greatness of man? The greatness of man is revealed in Christ. Two things are revealed in Christ: God and man. Christ reveals to us all that we can experience and know of God. But he also reveals our humanity to us. And that humanity is not revealed until after the crucifixion. You have to go through the crucifixion to get to the resurrection. It's not revealed until the resurrection. The apostles take great pains to emphasize that in their experience of the risen Christ, he is not a vision. He is not a spirit. They touched him. They ate food with him. The kind of food we eat every day. Fish. The other things that we eat every day. He is not a spirit. He is a real human being. He is, in fact, the first real human being. And he has passed through death. And as Metropolitan Anthony says, what it means to be a true human being, a true man, is so great that we don't have anybody else to refer to, see? He is the man. Behold the man, you know, they said when they were charging him on trial. Behold the man. He is the man. You know, that's the expression you run into today, but it means something else. He's the man. He is a human being as human beings are meant to be and as we can be through him. When he passes through death, Metropolitan Anthony says, he pulls all of us behind him. All of our humanity passes through death. So long as we unite ourselves to him, place ourselves at his disposal so that he can change us. The one who is like us in every way, except for sin, which is not part of what it means to be human, to being able to share in his perfect humanity and pass through death. Because of our humanity is the perfect humanity of Christ, who is at the same time the Son of God himself. We are united to that life. Death can't touch us. That's the joy. The joy is that the one who is arisen is one of us. It's not that he's different or that he's other or that he's an exception to what the norm is. He is the norm. That's the thing we need to get through to ourselves. He is the norm. All of those other human beings that we have known looking at one another and looking back through history, we think we know what it is to be human, but no, it is only revealed to us once, and that is with the resurrection of Christ. Now we've been through Great Lent, Holy Week, Pascha. We're still within Pascha today on St. Thomas Sunday. It would be a great shame if we fell back into a lesser, secularized understanding of the Christian faith, which is, I admit, much more compatible with placing the values of the world first. There is a version of Christianity that fits together very well with placing the values of the world first. But it's not the fullness of the faith. The Christian life doesn't fit into our smallness. We have to arise and enter into the fullness of the revealed meaning of what it means to be a human being. We have to enter into and live that resurrected life. When we are baptized into that life, we begin an eternal life now, today. Not when we die. The rest of our life is meant to be different. The rest of our life is meant to be lived as an eternal life at one with God. And the burden isn't on us to be perfect. He is perfect. The only burden we have is to turn around and repent when we fall short. That's it. We don't have to be like St. Mary of Egypt, except that she was a penitent misser of the mark, misser of the marks of being like Christ. And so Christ reveals himself before the crucifixion. He reveals his divinity, not his humanity. See, that's the first thing we would think. We would say, oh, you know, yeah, Jesus of Nazareth, a human being. You know, I know him. No. He is revealing his divinity during those 3 years. It's after the crucifixion. That's when he reveals his humanity, because we didn't know what humanity was before. This is fundamental. Everything is based on this. The reality of the resurrection. Not just the fact that it happened as a miracle that accomplished some purpose that still left us bound in this world and unable to live any other life than the life that makes the values of the world primary. No! No! That's not the fullness of the Christian faith. If all the resurrection does for you is save you from hell and you go out and live the same kind of life you could have lived just as well before, I think there are other religions like that. If all you want to do is get off the hook. But if you want to have your life transformed so that bit by bit, 3 years, you know, before Peter recognized Christ himself as the Son of God, standing right before him, living and sleeping for 3 years. So it's not just like that. But your life will be transformed into your being able to actually live the life that you were given as a human being. And remember, our humanity is revealed post-resurrection, post-crucifixion and death. And so all of the crucifixions and deaths that we go through, those are the things that are going to make the difference. Okay? Baptism, confession, die to yourself, arise and live a life like his. Arise and live a human life like the human life that is revealed after the resurrection. We have to keep stretching toward that. We can't let ourselves slip back into what Metropolitan Anthony calls a slavish approach to Christ. It's easier, but it's not what we are created for. It's not who we are as human beings. It's not what Christianity means. When the prodigal son came back to his father, he was ready to be accepted as a hired servant. He said that he knew that he had sinned. He had missed the mark. Remember, that's what sin means. He had missed the mark. He had sinned before God and his father. And he was ready to be accepted back into his father's house as a hired servant. And his father stopped him before he got to that second part of his confession. Metropolitan Anthony says, no, he would not accept him back into the house as a hired servant, to live a life of slavery, you see, to this world. God will not accept us as something less than what he created us to be. He created us to be daughters and sons of himself, to live and share His life. To live and share His life. From baptism, from the entrance into His life, on. He will not let us, as the father in the prodigal son story said, come up with some lesser way of evaluating acceptance. Father, accept me as a hired servant. Hey, look, being a successful hired servant is a lot easier than actually living life as sons and daughters adopted by God. That's how God will accept us. And so we have to stretch beyond a way of understanding our Christian faith that takes it and makes it useful to us in the world, makes it relevant. We have to ascend. We have to enter into this new life that God has made possible and that we have been baptized into and that we are now able to live through Him, in Him, and with Him. With Him, you know, that means synergy, but it's another story. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.